when you say you spoke both, do you mean you spoke both English and Cantonese, or a half and half type of?
Yeah, Toi San and English. Because sometimes it's very difficult for her to comprehend. Then pretty soon, we try to speak more because she wanted to be able to communicate with others and gain employment and such.
I'm surprised, though, since your mother was born in San Francisco, why her English was as limited as it was.
Well, San Francisco is Chinatown.
So she mainly was in Chinatowns.
Well, when you get into a ethnic community like a ghetto, like the Ninth and San Pedro is really like a Chinatown. You have everything, your services. You go to a grocery store, you go to a Chinese grocery store over there, in Chenlong, mm-hmm. It's still there, and then we're in Chenlong later. You go to a restaurant, Yuan Tuk Lao is still there, and there's a couple other restaurants which are not there. But then the market was there, and the bank, you had, Hiram Kwan?
Yes.
Attorney, his father was in the bank there, and you go to the Chinese teller. What else? This is your limit. I mean, once in a while you go down to 9th and walk from 9th Street in San Pedro to 9th and Broadway, and the main street was kind of a shopping area. Then there were some department stores there and a few maid company. And all it takes to pick up an item and pay for it. Other than that, those are the only reasons that you go. Then mm-hmm. I remember my mother used to take me to the Chinese opera. If you look on Central Avenue, going north past First Street, about a block or two away at where Central Avenue used to end, you can't go in there anymore because I think it's a city. Right at the end, there used to be the next block over from First Street was called Jackson Street. And right where Central Avenue ends right there, right across the street where it ends, was a big auditorium. That's where you have the Chinese opera. I used to sit there, my mother, when I was a little tyke. Mm-hmm. In elementary school, listening to a lot of stuff. But of course, I couldn't understand how, because when they sing Chinese in the high-pitched tone and the sound, it's pretty hard to understand a lot of that stuff.
But did you enjoy it?
Well, some, a lot of time you enjoy some of the action, but most of the time, I just was there as company for my mother. And she visited her friends in Chinatown also.
Did your mother send you or any of your brothers or sisters to Chinese school?
No, the young ones, the younger ones, never did have the opportunity to attend. We didn't have all the Chinese books and in the house. The older ones, my sister and my oldest brother. But after my dad passed away, most of us were, she was too busy trying to save expenditures, cut down expenses, and also try to find out whether she make a living or not.
How did your older brothers and sisters feel about Chinese school?
Well, they had a lot of fun from what there's a lot of social action, taking place, interaction. A lot of their friends are there, like some of the people like Chong Tong, used to be with drum corps a lot. He was one of my brother's cronies, of course, the Gott brothers, the late Roland Gott, and William Gott, who's in San Francisco in Hawaii now.
How do you spell the last name?
G-O-T.
Gott,
They were, a lot of people know them. I think the second brother's in town somewhere. I guess he has one eye, had an operation. Archie Gott. He's in here. He's around here. The sister, I think Lucy knows. Mm-hmm. The sister, the youngest one.
Mm-hmm.
Diana is in here. She's married, but I've forgotten what her married name is. But mm-hmm. It's just that these people were some of the friends, and also Archie Kwan. Archie Kwan? Clara Kwan?
No.
What's her name? He should be able to give you a lot of information too, because they all live down on 10th Street, 9th Place. Chong Tong, Archie Kwan.
Archie Kwan is still around now?
He's around here, so I see him once in a while. Clara Kwan Wu, you know her?
No.
She married one of the Wu boys, San Fernando Wolves? Which one is she married?
What does Archie Kwan do?
I don't know what Archie's doing.
Oh.
Because I see him in Chinatown there very seldom, but he's a little older than I am, about 5-10 years or something along in that vicinity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Chinese school together with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And sister.
About how many years did your brothers and sisters go to Chinese school?
I'm not too certain, but my sister probably went about 5-6 years. Then my brother went about the same number. Then went back to China, went to school for about several years.
They seemed very obedient to have gone to Chinese school for that long, and then for your brother to go to China to continue his Chinese education. A lot of the American-born would have just, rebelled.
Well, I think in those days, you know, that it was more traditional. This filial piety more of it because of the fact that the Chinese, it was a pretty close community. The Chinese still, were closed in, and the Chinese interface with the Chinese most of the time, and Japanese, there's a lot of Japanese in there too. But there's certain streets, like we're on 10th Street and 9th Place, those two streets are mostly Chinese. But we lived, there's San Pedro, there's Crocker, and there's Town, 9th Street, 10th Street. But we still live on Town Avenue, so there's only several Chinese families there. So mostly Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew both groups. Actually, we lived on 10th Street first. That's how I was born on 10th Street. Then my father later bought this house two blocks, a couple blocks away. So we grew up at the beginning of 10th Street a few years. In fact, I was a year old when my father moved over there. My older sibling, my brother and sister, were there from the time they bought, many years before.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many years, I'm sorry. We lived in Chinatown, right by the stables over there, the old Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
So then my father, he'd been in the market since 19, I don't know when, because 1910 he was the secretary of the city market. So evidently he might have been there. He must have founded the market with Louis Guan.
Mm-hmm.
Louis Guan. So anyways, so I don't know. I'm not sure when we moved over to the market area. Because I wasn't born until, it was too early in my life to recognize a lot of things anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So were your friends, your associations when you were young mainly with Chinese, non-Chinese,
both.
Japanese?
Both Chinese and Japanese.
Both Chinese and Japanese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, when I started growing up, we started playing, on teams, and the Japanese were the ones that had all the athletic team, the Chinese didn't have any. So I started playing the games. I was very active in sports, so I joined a Japanese group, played football, basketball, and things.
The Chinese just never organized?
Well, there were some, but there were very little, because all your competition was between Japanese groups and other groups. Like when you're on a team, there's more activities.
Mm-hmm.
There were very few. It wasn't until after I got back from the service, World War II, that we had the basketball and softball team that were in the Chinese league.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, that's limited. In fact, today they're very limited. Most, as you read these papers here, these Japanese paper, the basketball teams always look at all of the results. You always see a Chinese, in fact, many of the teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see, you may have a team out in Alpine Playground, but it's very small.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, this group is very organized. They have softball, basketball, bowling. So I was involved in some of those leagues and basketball, softball, and football.
So the language that you spoke outside of the home was mostly English?
Mostly English. Well, even the Chinese, most of course, once in a while, you know, there's, you know, certain times you can revert back to a few, you know, Chinese phrases, but most of the time, you know, Chinese and or speaking English, because I know my brother going to Chinese school, you know, when Milton, Kwan, and those, they're talking, spoke English.
Mm-hmm. How long did your older brother stay in China?
Oh, about 3-4 years, I guess.
And he went to Canton?
No, to Shenzhen.
Shenzhen, uh-huh.
And my father owns some property there, you know, because my father was well known there.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, on the temple walls, I think the history of our family, he said it was on there. I guess including my father, probably his name is on there because he had gone back there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the oldest son, when he go back there, I guess they put their, I don't know, the temple is still standing after 1949. I don't know what happened to the village. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
None of us been back since, you know,
mm-hmm.
1930, something like my brother came back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you were young, did you feel more Chinese or American? Or?
Well, you know, in those days, there were, depends on the, many times the, when we get together, a lot of times we felt some kind of bias or something, and we knew that we weren't accepted by the group because some the guys, you know, we make some very derogatory remarks about, you know, those, you know, other majority group, you know, being biased and racist against us, and that and we knew some, but it was very hard, difficult in those days. I guess you felt you really didn't in the open. You really didn't want to. Because it wasn't this kind of ethnic awareness as today,
mm-hmm.
that even the blacks and the Hispanics and the Asians, you didn't go out and say, I am this or that, because you knew that there's too many other people, you know, the powers that be, like the teachers, most of them were Caucasian, you know, that they're expounding the, you know, the values, their values, and George Washington and you know, the father of my country, and Christopher Columbus and all that stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
those are the people, the European type.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't acceptance of it. But there were some teachers, maybe more or less, you know, sensitive to it, more understanding. Of course, our school at that time, elementary school especially, was better because we had, you know, David Lee?
Yes.
His mother was teaching him. Well, she was one of my teachers. She was uh-huh. a Caucasian, but she was married to his father, Chinese.
Uh-huh.
So she was one of my teachers, and Mrs. Chan was there at Main Street School. I don't know if she, one time she came to our reunion. I guess you heard about the reunion, Wade. All the high school graduates, they started as 1940 graduates. Jefferson High School, and then the first year about 15 people came, the next year, and then the third year, that's about 5-6 years ago, about 400 people came, or 300. People from different high schools all
mm-hmm.
over, you know, came, and so...
So you felt kind of, you didn't quite feel as if you belonged completely to the American group or American scene, but yet you also didn't quite feel as if you were your typical Chinese or your
well, because the climate, you know, in our country, you know, it's more traditional, and the values were expounded were those, you know, Anglo-Saxon values in the school. And to be successful, you had to be. And of course, you know, my mother was pushing us to go to school, to succeed in school. And in order, like you said, in order to, you know, be like, you know, they always say so-and-so is in Chinese is this successful, you know, you got to go to school. So what does school mean? You learn what you're getting in school.
Right.
See?
Right.
English or the subjects and so forth. And, of course, this is a thing which you know, the motivation or the pressure is put on to you by the family to succeed in school. And the school they're talking about is where you're going to be successful in economic success.
Mm-hmm.
Or academic, you know, I mean, it's really economic success. I remember when I was a kid, my mother and my uncles used to sit around and talk about, you know, they're talking in Chinese most of the time. And telling stories about not only Chinese history, you know, the Chinese tales and all that, Chinese values, and I remember a lot of them, but also about the people who were educated, whoever so-and-so went to school and did this and that. And,
mm-hmm.
and in China, they remember about this, so many of the villages, the head was especially good. Anyway, so, you know, but what else, you know, I mean, they don't have to tell you these things,
mm-hmm.
besides when they say, why don't you go to school and you know, go
mm-hmm.
to every day and be, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, their feelings about it. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think peer pressure, parental pressure, and you know, and also knowing that you had to this, you know, we're in a situation in our ghetto in 9th and St. Peter Street, you know, you had to at least graduate out of high school. You know, this is pre-World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't even thinking in terms of get a skill, get out of high school, and get a job. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, right after Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, you know, you could say it's a fortune. I hate to say war, it's a fortune. It's fortunate that maybe it came for many people because things changed for the better for most of us. And after the war, most of us were able to go to universities and colleges, and more of us, and being accepted more than prior to World War II, because there are some friends of ours who, and others who went through college and found that the doors were closed to them, even though they graduated in engineering or whatever, and they ended up in the market, in the fruit stands with the Japanese and or gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese and Japanese were kind of, you know, closed out from the system
mm-hmm.
because of the biases, you know. You know, actually, they're really blatant, you know, when people say, well, I don't have a job for you, and you know there's a job. You know, it happened in San Diego. My wife, when she got out of college, high school, they told us, you in San Diego, you shouldn't go into teaching because they won't hire you.
Because she was Chinese?
Well, yeah, I know there's certainly, I applied for a job in Hermosa Beach after I taught a few years here, and I thought maybe going to, you know, sometimes you just want to change and think that opportunities, you know, when I walked in there, you know, you could see for the interview, they see, you know, I didn't know, you know.
Your face dropped.
Well, so after they interviewed me real quickly, and they said, we'll let you know whenever they hear from them. See, it's, well, whether it's true or not, you sometimes kind of think it might be, you know. Because I think, some Chinese fellow worked in the county office. You know, I knew him very well. A fellow named Harry Jung. He's older than I am.
We've interviewed him.
Harry Jung?
Yes.
He told me, you know, he's a good friend of my older brother. So he said, he gave me the lead. He said, oh, no, they're looking for people. So he says, go make an appointment. So I told him, Mr. Jung, recommended me and all that. And I had, you know, I was a pretty good teacher. I was a training teacher and so forth. Anyway, but
mm-hmm.
who knows?
Okay. So, did you have many friends who were Americans, or?
Not where we live. Well, I went to Jefferson High School, and most of our friends were Chinese, Japanese, and Black, and Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
But most of were Asians, you know, Chinese, Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
We used to eat lunch together at Jefferson High School. Of course, you know, seniors, they usually stuck around by ethnic group or by grade level, you know. And so I belong to the Chinese club over there at Jefferson High School. You know, Francis Ho Wong, was Charlie Kwan there, going to school there? I can't remember. And Frank Wong, Woofer Wong, you heard of Woofer?
Yes.
Do you interview him yet?
I've been trying to reach him. He's hard to get a hold of.
You are home or at work?
At work. Oh, I should try him at home.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, his wife was kind of an invalid, you know, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, you know, he wasn't feeling too well when I saw him. I haven't seen him about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
He went down to his place of business.
Mm-hmm.
Young Jew, I don't remember. There's a whole bunch, but I can't remember all their names offhand.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we used to meet once a month, and, or once, whatever it was. But most of it was to get together because there was a common ground, and you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of our social needs were met that way, because we had some wreck of hops at, you know, some of the people's houses, you know. So this was our limited, you know, it's not, you know, we're talking about something another generation back, and it's what we used to do, because
mm-hmm.
we didn't have television and all that, so therefore, there's really, I think there's a lot of advantages to that, because we're able to, because, you know, there's so many, people are more, you know, kids, young kids today, you know, the Chinese are more affluent than they were in those days.
Right.
Because we, you know, our generation have grown up and provided our children with things that we didn't have, I guess. We're trying to give a lot of things that we didn't have, which is, that's a lot of good and, you know, bad. But I think we give them too much, and things become tough. I don't know if they can face up to it. Well, I guess, you know, but that's just my feeling, but they probably do better than I think they can.
Mm.
So therefore, it gave us more opportunity for you know, being in groups. Not that kids don't do it today, the young people, but I think because we had less opportunities and other, you know, activities, and we didn't have cars.
So for recreation, you were probably pretty much involved in sports, playing ball.
The playground, neighborhood.
Playground.
Yeah, we did a lot of that. Then, like I said, since I was very interested in athletics and I was all more involved with the Chinese, didn't have too much, I joined with the Japanese. When they had a team, they asked me to play with them, so
mm-hmm.
I went with them.
Mm-hmm.
During high school, toward the end, and after I got out.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I came out of service, we had a Chinese league. And when I joined the bowling league over there, the old Angeles bowling alley, which is not here anymore,
mm-hmm.
on 11th and 10th and 9th and Olive, 10th and Olive, around there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there a couple of years. I used to go to the bowling alley on Saturday to go into service with some of the guys, all the Chinese used to, I used to work, I got out of high school, went to work, and used to bowl every Saturday practically. And all the Chinatown used to be there practically. Not all of them, but that was a Chinese bowling. That and the one next block called Vogue, but the Angeles was the main one.
Did you do other things for recreation that was Chinese by culture? Chinese, you mentioned going to the opera with your mother, but any other Chinese movies or Chinese dances or
I've been
mahjong
to Chinese movies, but like I say, they spoke Guangdong Hua and I spoke Wei San, so you know, a lot of the words, you know, there is some difference, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like the action, you know, some of the martial, you know, Chinese and things.
How about mahjong?
Oh, well, our family used to play it. The father bought that. Sure, we played that. Of course, we never, you know, gambled.
Chinese chess? Any other Chinese games?
Not much more than that. Most of our games were what was in the neighborhood with the kids. And visit other families with my parents, my mother. My father passed away when I was 5, so they were very limited. He took us down to the old house down there on down the old Chinatown one time here before he passed away, so I probably remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your mother didn't push Chinese culture on you and your brothers and sisters, did she? I mean, or did she emphasize that you should be, you should think more Chinese or do more Chinese things or don't become too Americanized?
Well, she used to extol the Chinese principles, how great China was and the Chinese and the
values and the scholar and the city. He used to talk about it. But they used to mention about
some of the leaders, like even Chiang Kai-shek and then all the others, and how, you know, they looked upon him as a leader. But like I say, the Chinese in China, and Dr. Sun Yat-sen, and they used to talk about them. And
she was very proud of
China. Yeah, her world was more Chinese than what I call American in those days. You know, everybody had to be a good American. You know, you had to go by, you know, apple pie and vanilla ice cream, whatever it is. But this was her world. But of course, as my father passed away, she began to realize, you know, she had to try to go out to make a, you know, living to support the family in some way, in her meager way. She began to learn more English, try to get more Americanized. But how much she really did, establish it, whether, you know, how much percentage she's gone to become an American. But I know that.
Were her friends and associations mostly Chinese?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You see the Dr. Li, the herbalist, my kind of name, these live out there. And some, a lot of the neighbors, you know, she used to walk down the, you know, came down to Chinatown and see some of the few people she had. She took me along, you know, number of places. I mean, some of the ones. And of course, I remember I used to go to the opera with her. Can't remember them. All I remember the singing, you know. And even the singing wasn't too clear to me, because when they sing the words, I lose it. Even the American opera, if they sang the words, I have a difficult time understanding it.
Right. Okay. Did you or anyone else that you knew of ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
Well, you know, as I look back, you know, we didn't have too much time, because World War II came up in 40. I was just out of high school. And, because when you, I know there's times that you wish you were American or white, because you see all the advantages. And you hear about in the neighborhood, about some of you who graduated from UCLA, you're pretty high up in the class, you know, good students, top students, they couldn't get a job and so forth. And you wonder. I used to think about that. And when I started to work, I got a job right away. I worked in a gas station, a Japanese gas, right down the corner from, you know, because we lived by the market. A lot of trucks coming in, so they, you know. So I got a job there. And for a while, you know, this was still your world. And when you don't, when you are, you're able to have some identity, you know, you're making, you know, you're able to support yourself, and you have your friends and all that. There's sometimes you don't get too much time to think about those things. You're too busy trying to. Make a living, in a sense. And it was in between that time when I was, it wasn't until about a year after I started work that I took a class at LAC City College just before the war started.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there you became a student, and at that time I didn't run into any type of racial bias, and so I was just beginning, and the war came and everything changed. So really, I didn't have that much of an opportunity. Maybe not feeling that I didn't want to be a Chinese, but in a service, I ran into some bias, you know, but didn't make me feel, just made me angry that people didn't respect, you know, me as a person, as a Chinese. Because I knew the person was biased against color.
Right.
See, and the Chinese are called blacks, whatever.
Right. Do you think that in your responses to these questions where I've asked you about being Chinese or non-Chinese, and your associations, friends were Chinese, non-Chinese, and so forth, were you typical of most American-born Chinese of your generation?
Depends. I guess it's typical in a way, yeah, because I'm trying to look back, because we lived on this street, so depends on your residence, let's just say, because if you live on in the Chinese, like say for example 10th Street, 9th Place, and even our street, your sphere is still within, the influence is still within whatever groups in there, Chinese, Japanese, whatever. You live on 21st Street, 25th, and it's still, that is, you know, still Chinese, Japanese, and a few others in there, but so your greater sphere of influence is whatever groups in there. And when you live in Chinatown, it's just more than almost mainly Chinese. The only time you're away from the influence would be in the schools, basically, because of the diversity of the communities which feed into the secondary school, especially. When you go to elementary school, it's more the smaller geographic community, mm-hmm. and usually it's, like where I went to school, ninth grade school, mostly Asian and Hispanics, and mm-hmm. some Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
But as you went to junior high school and senior high school, at that time there was, I guess there were, you know, as you go on, depending on what school, you went to Poly High School over here where Trade Creek is, you get majority Caucasian, over to where